Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mod State Podcast. It's a new week. Glad you're here. Among technical difficulties, we managed to make it. It is Monday for most people who are listening to this, and let's get the pleasantries out of the way. First off, if you want more of Mod State, go to modstate.com. There's a link to all of our social media pages, and of course, all of our op-eds and opinion pieces. Well, it's certainly been an eventful last several days. I hope everyone had a relaxing weekend. John and I get into a few things that'll probably set up the week. So without any more of my blathering, let's get John on the line.
You want the envelope? There. You take it. It's all yours. You kill all three of them for nothing. You greenhorn, you blockheaded jackass, you nincompoop.
All right. Hey, man, what's going on?
In which sector?
Man, well.
We meet again, brave traveler.
We made it.
All manner of sorcery.
Yeah, indeed. We are back. We are back. Welcome, everybody. Hope your beginning of the week's going well. How's your day going?
Yes.
It's going, huh?
Well, I mean, all right. Sunday was a good thing. The Saints won, obviously. Mm-hmm. Had extended family in town. My cousin Ashley, obviously, she's a big fan of Mod State, and got to meet her fiance, who oddly has my first and middle name. Not my last name, though, thankfully. For a Navy town, it was really unusual because there was a ton of Army in town. I think they the Army ball from Polk, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, they just there. They just got done with JRTC, which is okay. A big Army operation that they do, basically a big training center at Fort Polk, so not surprising.
I was talking to a bunch of them, and they kept calling me sir. I'm like, no, y'all don't understand. I was a corpsman. I was enlisted. They're like, oh, really, sir? I'm like, oh, my God. No, sir's my father. He's standing right here. And actually, no, he was a sergeant, so no, he's not either.
You're like, y'all are wrong, but that's all right.
But, hey, you know what? Thank y'all. They had these cool digi, the digi hoodies they have now. Those things were sexy.
Digi hoodies, huh?
Well, the digital print, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I literally bought a bunch of those before I got out. And they look a lot better. I'll tell you that much.
The ones you bought?
The new ones, yeah. They're the more woodland print. And right. I just think it's a far cry from that old digicam that they had, which I'm not entirely sure what they were trying to hide from, but either way.
Well, I mean, it was green.
Yeah, it's the new one is the green, brown, and more the woodland print. And they'll be phased in 2019, so you can wear either one right now.
Every service is like, how close to puke can we get?
Well,
except the Marines, they got it right. Give them that.
Yeah, they're a good blend between what the Army have now and what they used to have. And it's...
And then there's the Navy.
And then there's the Navy, camouflaging with the boat and the water.
And I don't like boats, so wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. Didn't like boats, but you're still...
Well, I mean, I wanted to be a corpsman, obviously, because my cousins were Marines. But yeah, I've said that before. It's like in A Few Good Men, he says that. You know, it's like, I don't like boats. And just, oh, for Christ's sake, Kathy, you're in the Navy. Like, well, yeah. But as I always say, it's only rock and roll, you know?
Indeed. Well, for the case of the Mondays, I've got one for you. Oh. So... Obviously, the Saints won today, so this is in the football vein. But the Pontiac Silverdome was the home of the Detroit Lions for a number of years.
They finally started tearing that poor sanctuary down.
Well, funny you ask.
So falling in. It's sad.
Today, or this weekend, rather, they...
Sad.
Yeah, this is sad. So they were going to demolish the Pontiac Silver Dome via explosion. And everyone did one last big tailgate in the parking lot. Everyone showed up and they pulled the trigger or the plunger or whatever, and it failed to implode. It literally, there was like faulty wiring. And
okay, that literally hurts my heart because I like Detroit. You know this.
Yeah.
The Silver Dome's iconic.
It is. I remember driving past that, and it's just this eyesore now. But it was really funny. The social media posts were, well, this isn't the first time.
Oh, I bet it was brutal.
Oh, my God. So some of the better ones were along the lines of, well, this wouldn't be the first time that Detroit Lions fans have left the parking lot disappointed.
Too easy.
I mean,
you can't really talk.
It was actually pretty funny. It actually made quite a bit of headlines. I was listening to
it. At least that's humorous. If you were following any of the Eli Manning saga on Twitter, holy cow.
Yeah, he's...
Their entire history of players that are still alive are like cussing this dude out. But that porn star lookalike coach is on his way out, so...
Well, there's talk now that he may go to Denver. So that's interesting on a note.
Well, Ben McAdoo is going to be coaching at the Toilet Bowl, okay?
Yeah. Well, Eli Manning, not their coach.
Honestly, he's got nothing left to prove. He's the only man who's beaten Tom Brady in February, and he's done it twice.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting for him coming back and being in the same spot that his brother was, but who knows? Yeah, at this point, he really doesn't have anything to prove.
I don't know if you saw what I put on Facebook this morning. I was hot.
I did not see.
Well, because, you know, all right, the whole concept was we're going to bench Eli Manning so that we can groom our third-round draft pick. He's the quarterback of the future, right?
Yeah.
That guy didn't even dress today.
Oh, really?
They've started a washout quarterback, and Geno Smith, former Jets quarterback, yeah, who performed admirably, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the guy of the future, clearly.
No.
So if you're not going to start the draft pick, why this slap in the face to Eli Manning? So I never said something like this before on social media. But because until today, the Giants were like my number two, number three team. Not anymore. I couldn't help it, man. I said, I seriously hope the next home game, because they lost it to Oakland.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, they couldn't even beat that porous defense. But I said, I hope the Dallas Cowboys come to Giants Stadium, and I hope they beat y'all so bad that you can't piss standing up.
Cowboys aren't doing very well either. It's
I hate Dallas, though.
America's team, man.
I hope y'all can't piss standing up.
America's team.
Like, it's a disgrace, man, to send somebody out like that. If you want to bench him, fine.
Yeah, it's a snub, but we'll see.
Don't bench him for a guy who's not the guy of the future.
Yeah, I don't know.
And to Eli Manning?
I know. Giants, whatever call that is, and not doing that well, but, man.
Whatever. Stop.
Hey, sports podcast, Mod State Sports channel. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. The next 3 hours is going to be the NFL. I'm just kidding.
No. My head would.
I unfortunately would not be able to contribute that much.
I wouldn't either. I'm a Saints fan. What do I have to talk about?
Yeah, I'm a Lions fan. I have nothing to talk about.
We're going to ruin this somehow.
The only thing I can talk about is the fact Wayne Fonts. Matthew Stafford making a $135 million contract and never making it to the playoffs. Yeah, it's whatever.
You were kind of right. I didn't want to admit it last we talked about this, but.
All right,
so now on from this depressing, let's go down further. Let's once more into the abyss.
Into the abyss. Well, yeah.
Abysmal.
What is going on? So I mentioned in the intro that I think this podcast, the beginning of the week's going to set the stage for quite a bit of things that will come to light over this week. Of course, I'm assuming a bit, but
new shit has come to light, man.
New shit has come to light.
That had not occurred to us, dude.
I'm sure there's a few listeners out there that get that reference.
Okay, even if you don't, R.I.P. Philip Seymour Hoffman. The only reason he's not known as the greatest actor of your United Generation, Nate, is because he's not as pretty as Johnny Depp.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
Watch Capote.
God, he played such a good role.
Anyway, sorry.
No.
I digress daily.
That's all right. Yeah, so what will happen this week? So we do know, and we won't spend a whole lot of time on this because we've hit tax reform with quite the hammer over the last 2 weeks. But the bill did pass in the Senate in the wee hours of the morning. I believe it was Friday into Saturday morning. And I went to a, there's another thing we can talk about too. I did go to a unity rally in Denver. It was not too far. I don't live that far from the Capitol. And it popped up in Facebook. So Sarah and I went just to kind of go check it out. And
was that right? Was there disunity nearby? Because you said it was anti-fascism.
Yes.
So that told me there were fascists nearby.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Actually, it happened pretty quickly. And I was impressed with...
Shot him in a penis.
It was actually... there wasn't as many people as I thought. And I was impressed with the mix of the crowd that was there. And right off the bat, they had... several speakers that were talking on the Capitol bill at the on the stairs at the Capitol building, and it didn't take long. It was about 5 minutes, and the heckling started. And you know, I'm a bit torn when it comes to free speech, but for the first time, really being at a rally like this, having someone just kind of scream out and be there not to. Contribute or have a meaningful dialogue. There was a lot of screaming, and there was and really the people that were there for the unity rally didn't do much to confront him at all. I was impressed there was a bit of a police presence there.
Who is he?
The
didn't confront who?
Oh, I would say the individuals.
I'm so lost right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. The individuals who showed up for the unity rally in favor of the unity rally didn't actually engage the hecklers, and it was they kept.
Oh, so the hecklers were harassing the unity speaker.
Exactly.
Okay. And, all right. I'm on your page now. Continue.
Right off the bat, and it was definitely not classy. They weren't there for any form of education or to have any meaningful dialogue. It was there. They were there to be jerks.
Yeah, I don't think heckling and classy can be juxtaposed.
No, not at all. But I was impressed with the law enforcement that was there, and they did a pretty good job of kind of shuffling them off to the back. And I think there was some meaningful dialogue briefly between some people, but I was kind of disheartened by the fact that the overall message was really nice. It was a community democracy type of rally and unity, and the press that was there actually gave the hecklers quite a bit of press time and air time, and so their message got changed a bit when they were put in front of a camera. And I'm sure this stuff happens at all rallies.
And you're gonna put together a editorial with us. I'm assuming you got your precious videos.
Yeah, I do. I have got some videos. I've got some good photos. There's...
Then you write what really happened.
Yeah. So
we'll do it. Hey, everybody, hold on. We'll do it again.
Yeah, we'll
tell what actually happened again.
Exactly. And the
you're welcome.
I'm going to do an op-ed on it and just in write. They did march down 16th Street, which is downtown, and there was an amazing presence with the overall community that was there. There was probably an extra 1,000 people that joined in throughout the march downtown. And just the overall community in Denver was really supportive of the march. It was very peaceful. The Denver Metropolitan Police set up they had a caravan, if you will, a motorcade that blocked the streets when everyone walked. And I was very impressed by their presence as well. So I'm going to do an op-ed and write a little bit more about it and the message that was there.
And we're going to upload your videos.
Yeah, I'm going to get some videos together and so we can see and let that be known. I thought the message was overall geared towards, obviously, the unity and the community. And
that was velvety.
Thanks, yeah. And there was a, you know, big Native American presence that was there as well. And so there was talk about, you know, the indigenous individuals in Colorado and immigration and just overall unity for everyone in America. And I know there's a big, pretty divisive rhetoric and an idea on how immigration should be formulated and our way forward with immigration. But obviously at these type of rallies, it's very pro-immigration. And whether you believe in that or not, I do believe, and we've done a couple podcasts on DACA at this point, and
who that is?
What
Doc Holliday?
DACA, deferred action.
I kid.
And
you know, both of our families immigrated here.
Exactly.
The Vinnies, you know, right around World War One.
Yeah, we were here at the turn of the century as well. The Wellines were.
And, well, expletive deleted you.
Yeah, I know. Beat you. But overall, I was impressed by the organization, and we'll get those videos uploaded. I get my new computer this week, so.
I don't like them.
I have a
communist.
Oh, you will. And with the new editing program that I've got, we'll get those up. And
you say this, Sarah went with you?
Yeah, she did. She actually found the rally on Facebook, and so we took the time to go down on Saturday. And
I still don't like her.
And get involved. You still don't like her?
I'm kidding. This is a shout out to her. Thank you for your support of what we've done so far, and we've had a little bit of dialogue. No, I kid.
Yes, absolutely. So
thank you very much, Sarah.
And so I was thinking about sitting down with her and
no,
doing,
she doesn't like me.
Oh, that's not true. Do like a 25-minute recap and get her view on it as well, because there's a lot of things that were said as well that I don't know.
One condition.
What's the condition?
You must address her as Miss, and then however in God's holy name you say her last name. Copenhagen. Okay.
Ms. Goodlaxon. We will do that.
Okay.
I will do
get
that.
Copenhagen from.
What's that?
Where did I get Miss Copenhagen from?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, but yeah. Yes, look, you can't be like, sweetie.
Now, don't.
Did you have a good time?
This is 2017, man. She's not sweetie in the professional world.
All right. I've seen you.
You've seen me. You know me. No, that's for a closed door setting only. So
we've lived and loved. You'll go ahead.
Indeed. So yeah, we'll sit down and I'd like to get her thoughts on it. And it was her first.
Sarah's a happy thought. We were supposed to descend. This is Monday. I was born on a Monday.
We are. This unity is a good thing. Democracy is a good thing. In fact, I still have the chants stuck in my head, and she does too. She's like, I can't get them out of my head. I'm like, well, you're
take a Benadryl.
Yeah, it'll go away. Have a glass of wine, I promise. But
or both. One or both.
Yeah, or two. You know, hey, the American way. Excess. So yeah, anyway, we'll get those videos up and we'll probably do a little 25-minute podcast on it, and I'll write an op-ed, and I think it was cool to get involved. It was neat to have Mod State's presence there and capture a little bit of it. I did post a video but a picture just of individuals that were there and their signs. I thought it was neat to capture that. But yeah, this week. So transitioning here.
All right, we'll see y'all on Wednesday.
Yeah, so everyone, thanks. Tax reform.
In case the Mondays just didn't happen. I mean, we saw sunshine and rainbows coming out of asses. I mean,
what? Well, let's just stop right now. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, let's make it bad. Go ahead.
Let's do it. So we did say before I got into the whole unity talk. So they did pass the tax bill, and this was the point at the unity rally. There was really this overwhelming feel that they were defeated. So everyone that is against this tax bill was defeated.
And so this was unity against
taxes.
Tax reform.
It was among
against
many
taxes. Period.
Among many things, I think it was.
Well, who was they that got defeated? I'm not being contrarian. I'm trying to parse this.
The individuals at the unity rally are really progressive liberal types. And they're
no shit.
Believe it or not.
What, like, defeated how by this passage? I mean,
so I think there's a bit of misinformation that because between you and we talked in pre-show here, that though the bill is tipping in the favor of actually becoming law, it hasn't cleared all the hurdles that it needs to clear. And it does have to go back to the House.
And the zombie-eyed speaker has to wake up and get, you know, this doesn't count as the second thing done. He's already, this is the same issue. So, no, he's still got to finish the first thing.
Yeah.
As speaker that he's ever done that really matters.
Exactly. So they
he
did
can't
get.
Count Neil Gorsuch, remember.
No, he cannot. And regardless of what he needs to get done, this does have to go back to a rather diversified House. And where you can get people on board in the Senate, that's because there is just less people there that they have to make reconciliation for in order to get the bill passed. So going back to the House, you've got a more diversified conservative base.
Think about it. Maine, Alabama, Mississippi, California, and Texas all have the same amount of power in the Senate.
Exactly.
Two apiece. Whereas the House, you know, so you've got this Freedom Caucus, 40, it's around 40 members that every, a lot of significant publications call it herding cats. Well, St. Paul wanted the job.
Sure did. And when you talk about the equal representation within the Senate, I mean, you don't have that in the House. I mean, Texas alone has how many individuals that sit on there? 42 to 45, I believe.
I don't know.
It does have hurdles to, and when I mean a diversified conservative base, I mean individuals who stand more on the libertarian side and are way more fiscally conservative. Those aren't one and the same.
Well, the Germans and Italians, you know, so there's Nazis and fascists.
Them too. And
I get,
again, I think it still needs to pass that hurdle. And then before it even makes its way to the president's desk in the first place. So there was a bit of re-education at the rally to remind people that, look, this hasn't officially been passed. And there's still time to get a hold of your congressmen, your lawmakers, to express your concern with this bill if you do have concern with the bill. And, of course, most people at this rally did voice their concern.
Just a quick question. What was their primary concern?
Well, it becomes a concern at a local civic level. And that is what's interesting about being at a rally like the one in Denver. It really wasn't geared as much to the federal level as it was to community activism and civic activism and government at the local level. And that's where their concern, when you look around, you know, I lived in Hawaii and now in Denver, and there's a vast homeless population. There is a housing bubble that's happening, and that living wage isn't really equaling what it is when it comes to your standard of living. And that's a primary concern. And I think that spans all political ideology. And there's a concern that this bill doesn't do enough to address those issues. And
remember, there are those of us that do not think an increase in the minimum wage is going to result in any sort of equation, but continue.
No, I don't know or am maybe well-versed enough to know that the minimum wage being bumped up from, say, $10 an hour to $15 an hour is going to affect that as much. I think the concern is, and they use the word trickle-down economics, and we've talked about this at nauseam.
Side is the technical term.
Exactly.
But I forgot it the other night, I remember. But no, I'm not arguing that – I'm not saying an increase in the minimum wage is a bad thing. I mean, the federal minimum wage is just – it's way behind its times. But we discussed last podcast, and we're not going to regurgitate all that. But we discussed a number of ways that even though you and I have different means, we both want the same end of increasing the standard of living – advancing things in this country. I just don't quite align with that progressive wing, obviously. So
no, and surprisingly, that wasn't brought up as a solution. I think the primary motivator, to increase the minimum wage, that actually wasn't brought up as a solution to the issue, and especially within the tax bill. I think where people questioned the overall bill, or the questions that were brought up were, is there enough being done for middle America within this bill? And if you're going to pass a bill and it's going to be meaningful for the American people, then why is it not helping the majority of American people? And there was,
it hasn't been passed yet.
Well, yeah, it hasn't been passed yet. And again, I think it also,
sorry, you made that too easy.
I did. Yeah. And I do believe at a state level, there was a push there to, because whatever happens at the federal level, there is still state government and there is still things that state lawmakers and governors can do to help their citizens. And I think that was a major focus as well at this rally, was to get in touch with your state representatives and see what they can do where this bill may not help. And at a minimum, what I took away from this was this huge push when it comes to your own responsibility as a citizen to vote. And that's where the change can be made, is contacting your lawmakers and getting involved. And I think that echoes a lot of what we have been saying, especially over the last couple podcasts, that it does seem as though things may be out of our hands, but there is power there. And that's what makes this democracy a strong democracy. And especially with the, you know, the midterm elections coming up, there's, I believe, 20 to 40. Well, that's a broad range, but we'll just pick, we'll do 30 in the middle, governorships that will be up. And
quite a few.
There are quite a few.
And remember, the big thing that we've done before with Senator Kennedy of Louisiana, not those Kennedys, John Kennedy, Republican. I know. Sent him a letter with, hey, this HR, you know, House resolution, the number, you start sending us concerns. We'll quote chapter and verse, if you will. They will answer. Because if they don't, they're going to end up answering.
Yeah, they will. And that's the beauty of democracy, is with lack
Even though those people today would boo me, I am on their side, whether they realize it or not.
Yeah, you are. And that's been made abundantly clear over especially the last couple of podcasts when we have been talking about tax reform. And, you know, there's that notion, too, that we fail sometimes, or I fail to remember that there is that state government that is there to make the lives of everyday citizens within their state better. And we've seen that work in some places, and we've seen it not work in other places. So there is a responsibility at the state level and the local level to, you know, empower the citizens and make lives better and the standard of living better in the state that you're in. And we haven't really talked much about that because most of the conversation has been steered to the federal level. So it's not, when we're talking about taxation, we're talking about federal income tax. We're not talking about state, and we're not talking about spending and taxation within the state as well. And that varies, of course, through all states. But it's, I don't know. I do believe, and I guess was re-educated of the power that is at the local level and the state level. And I have this question that I pose to myself every now and then when I talk, when I think about what's happening at the federal level, that the responsibility that falls back on the state to rectify or to make up for where the federal government legislation fails.
Oh my.
And that's one thing we've talked about.
Jesus.
We've talked about quite a bit here, is taking that federal oversight away and taking that power away from the federal government and putting it back into the hands of the state government. But it worries me sometimes when I think about this, that when you have, let's just say we have a federal government, a conservative federal government that does cut spending and cut spending for federal programs, but then you have a like-minded state government that feels similarly when it comes to social programs. If you have a loss of that at the federal level and the state doesn't make up for that, you know, who does suffer, and how do we make up for that if it is a decrease in taxes and a cut in spending at the state level and loss of federal funding?
There's a word here,
pray tell,
that is needed, and that's responsibility. Responsible government, strong but limited government. Even the monster Richard Nixon said that this country, he quoted Dr. King in his 68 acceptance speech of the GOP nomination, this country will not be a good place for any of us to live in until it's a great place for all of us to live in. And this is someone who Nixon Care Part 1 and 2 went farther than Obamacare had at its height. That this is the man that supported, signed into law things like the EPA and OSHA, which protects the environment and workers from workplace hazards and losing their jobs unnecessarily, by the way, for those keeping score on the left. So this is someone who, he probably would have gotten booed today if he showed up, if he were alive and this was back then. But take solace in the fact that sometimes truly victory is the absence of defeat for the people that were discouraged today. And look beyond, sure, the national level, it's pretty polarized. Obviously, I'm being kind.
Yes.
But at the same time, look beyond the parentheses next to people's names. Don't even worry about that. In this sense, contact your representatives, yes. But in answer to your query, that's the big thing, is that no responsible government is going to allow this. Well, guess what? Every 2 years, and this includes your state reps, federal and state reps, that's where the change is. Okay, Senate terms change depending upon states and federal level. You want to affect change? Then follow the House, whether it's your state or federal. Mm-hmm. Every 2 years, they're accountable to the people.
Yeah, and this was an overwhelming message there, and it's
not as sexy as the presidency.
No, it's not. And the presidency, in a way,
but it's more intimate. It is.
It's a figurehead, and unfortunately, when your figurehead becomes divisive, and does spur or create a bit of division within the country,
we finally have a CEO as CEO of the country. It's a problem.
It is, and we've talked about this before. The government, you know, some people will like to push forward the idea that government should be run like a business, and that will inherently be better.
But the assumption is that tax receipts should exceed expenditures, and I like the concept. Okay, let's get away from just perpetual $1 trillion deficits. But when you say things like that, it drifts dangerously close into utilitarianism.
Yes, and as a philosophy of utilitarianism, it seems great
until you're a human being. Yeah,
until you're the person that suffers.
Not an AI construct.
Exactly, until you're the person that suffers for the greater good. And I think in any government or any utopia rather, that we would like, in a nation that's so populated as we are, I think there will always be a portion of the population that suffers somehow. And I'm not saying that that's good or not. It's certainly not good on an ideological level, but obviously we all would hope that we would never merge or become a utilitarian type society. And I think that's a fear of individuals who are in the midst of public policy at state levels and local levels and are around people who are suffering every day. And you don't see that as much at the federal level. And I don't think it's talked about on a much more macro level when it comes to the middle class is suffering, or the rich are going to suffer from this, or those below the poverty line are going to suffer. But there's a human element that is introduced when you see it in front of your eyes, whether that is a homeless population or those who can't afford housing or the average individual who's working two jobs to keep a roof over their head. And
I say this as somebody that has worked on interiors in Section 8 housing. Okay. Again, an unabashed : Nixon Republican. Okay. Worked in that. And I'm going, okay, anybody with this whole people just sitting around and just want to live off. Okay, you go look at those conditions and tell me if those people are living the life of Riley.
Yeah.
It's a break.
I mirror that when in terms of the...
We have different solutions, but you and I recognize the same bullet points.
It absolutely is. To generalize a population as those individuals who are getting help from the government are inherently lazy, or they aren't working hard, and
yes, but the problem is I don't like being generalized either. That's where this gets really divisive.
Yes, I do understand.
Not by you.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not alluding that I'm considering that. But
today, do you think a lot of those people, if I said, "Hey, just disclaimer," and you would say, "Don't say that at the beginning," but what if I did? Hey, I want y'all to hear me out, but just know, I'm a Nixon Republican. First of all, who says that? But the point is, would they have actually heard me out? I don't know if they would have.
I don't know. I would hope so. That would be my wish out of the entire thing. But
I mean, the same generation of Nixon haters that spat on vets returned home from Vietnam.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would hope not. Again, though we have different solutions to the problem, we inherently see the problem as what it is. And I think someone who may align more right or more than I am, I'm not saying you, it becomes problematic when you don't really open your eyes and see things for the gray that they are and not the black and white, or your thought process that is, if you are getting government assistance, therefore you are X, Y, and Z. You do. And honestly,
why in God's holy name are we doing this?
Over the last 57 podcasts, I mean, we've disagreed on countless occasions, but there's still...
We've disagreed tonight.
Yeah.
At some point, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, well, if it ever gets dark, well, it's been a pretty, you know what? Let's just have a peace conference and everybody get together and hug each other. And
hey, man, you're talking about my kind of conference. Let's do it. Burn some
incense. All right, I'm moving to Denver.
Burn some incense too, and maybe some. That was another thing that was brought up. The other thing that was brought up, and it was only
there too.
It was only briefly.
Decriminalization is in full swing here, and I mean like full swing. Like, Jesus,
it is. And Jeff Sessions coming out, and
he better not come down here. He better not recall how to get to New Orleans.
You know, he might not recall a lot of stuff, but he recalls that marijuana's a dangerous drug, and they've got to look long and hard at the policies.
Oh, and he hasn't forgotten federal minimums.
No,
he has not. Yeah, he remembers.
He recalls that. That is faux show. But it's interesting to, you know, this is completely sidetracking from what we were getting at, but.
We haven't gotten at anything.
No, we haven't. Well, we got a tax reform a little bit, but
dude, it's whatever.
I had a not a change of heart, but a thought change, or we'll just call it a thought. And Jeff Sessions was talking about
an epiphany
rather. Yes, that's good. Had a speech rather about the federal marijuana laws, and he
another one.
Another one. And he was talking about, obviously, the federal marijuana laws. It's still legal. It's still a sexual Schedule One drug.
Oh, you'll say that too. But when was this?
I think it was last week.
Oh.
And he said it as the framework in the law, it's still a federally illegal drug. And so he can't overlook that as the law states that it is illegal at the federal level to use, possess, sell, traffic, et cetera, marijuana. And he said they're looking, quote unquote, long and hard at the policy to come to some sort of meaningful resolution. But
oh, so we should have just left Jim Crow. I mean, that was that was the policy. That was the statute, you know?
Yeah, we'll look long and hard at it.
It's good.
But it doesn't...
Cuban cigars?
What's troubling is that even though he does operate under the law of the land, he does have the ability to investigate investigates the right word, and
it is
enforce the law.
This is where he has strength, though, is, and this is coming from me here, okay? This is where he has strength, is because of that whole issue where you can look this up on YouTube, Trey Gowdy protesting the fact that President Obama issued an executive order, which, yes, was struck down in federal court, saying, oh, we're only going to enforce part of this, not the same thing, but immigration statute. Mm-hmm. And Trey Gowdy said, we don't make suggestions, Mr. President. We make law.
Exactly. So, okay?
You can't say we're only going to enforce part of this drug policy.
And
which is what they've been doing.
I get that. And that was sort of my quote unquote epiphany. It's like, look, he isn't legislating or making law. He's upholding the law of the land. And the law of the land does say that it is illegal at the federal level. So what he's doing, I can't really get upset at the fact that he is he's following through and enforcing the law of the land, where our former DOJ under Obama really took the message from Obama and said, look, we're not going to enforce this. And as a Democrat, was actually giving the states free rein to enact law and fulfill that law. Oh, and by
the
way,
this is the same attorney general that made a joke about the president based on his skin color. I don't know if you heard that one.
Which is ironic because
he's African-American.
Yeah.
But do continue.
So it's interesting to have one, I say, administration that is more left and is more federally associated and still let the states fulfill and march out the laws that were enacted within their states. Yet you have a administration who is at an ideological level would like to deconstruct the federal government, yet still decides to enforce things that have been written into law in states because it sits under the federal code.
This is semantics, okay?
I realize.
This is a point towards you. This is a point towards them. They pick and freaking choose when they want to use the Interstate Commerce Clause, okay? It's in the Constitution.
Yep.
This is real simple, okay? Schedule 1 means there is no possible medicinal benefit, period.
Which is inherently false.
Yeah, Poppy's not on that schedule. LSD! Was prescribed. Cary Grant.
Yep.
Was taking it on set at prescribed levels, not, you know.
They just wasn't tripping nuts out there. Dropping hits.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, people are going to prison for years for a nonviolent crime because of a plant that
John,
people smoke?
I would give prescribed Marinol, which is a synthesized THC, to cancer patients for nausea and for pain control.
You violator.
Yeah, but it is a synthesized THC. Because it's synthesized and created at Big Pharma, I'm not putting on a conspiracy hat here.
Oh.
That it and passed the FDA, I give you that it is legal to give. But it's still synthesized from, it's like Dilaudid is a synthesized narcotic. But it's the same compound basically of morphine, which is not synthesized
heroin.
Yeah. So it's interesting to in some case I do agree that it is within the power of the DOJ and Jeff Sessions to enforce federal law.
He can at least go to bat for the right thing, Nate.
That's it. It's going to bat for the wrong thing.
Like you're 112 years old. Leave it all on the field, man. Do the right thing. Freaking thing.
Yeah. And
just say, hey, sir, Mr. President, I don't recall everything else, but give me a break.
Exactly. And that perplexes especially a group that I was with today and many Coloradans and those people in California, Oregon, Washington, where it is legal, where you have an administration that, of course, is federally associated. This was the Obama administration that said, let the states do what the states want to do. And
see, they missed their moment when they had all three houses.
They did.
House, Senate, and the presidency. They were too worried about midterm elections. They missed their moment.
Well, again, we do.
Shows me Nancy's true colors.
We do move forward in this country. And I think today, believe it or not, I think today,
I'm not so sure.
Even 8 years down the road, you look at popular opinion and polling within the nation, and you see a
popular opinion.
How dare I? Popular.
Popular.
Opinion. That doesn't
What's
matter.
What's popular now? Kitty well, Perry.
Apparently,
Kim Kardashian.
Apparently, nationalized and legalized weed. That's popular. But anyway, I'm not popular. So another thing to set this week up is the Michael.
We have screwed this week up already.
No, we haven't. We do what we want. The Michael Flynn investigation is moving forward, and we have talked about this at length, and we've always said, look, we're not going to talk about this unless it's worth talking about. And sure enough, over the weekend, there was a tweet that was sent out via Donald Trump's Twitter account that may or may not.
He wrote the tweet, okay? Oh, well, so all of a sudden now the lawyer's writing it for him?
Now his lawyer is writing these tweets. So his
tweet. I maintain Twitter's not policy, but anyway.
Well, it is.
Continue.
Yes. So on the 2nd, which was yesterday, or excuse me, 2 days ago, Donald Trump, his toilet tweet was, I had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the vice president and the FBI. He has pled guilty to those lies.
Sorry.
It is a shame because his actions during the transition were lawful. There was nothing to hide. So what has transpired from this is there a possible connection with this tweet to obstruction of justice? If Donald Trump knew that Flynn lied and he went to Comey and told Comey to just lay off Michael Flynn, he's a good guy, don't worry about it.
And that's hearsay.
And it's hearsay. And then if Comey were to have said, like, I can't, or didn't even say anything at all, but then was fired for it, and that was the reason he was fired, that could potentially be obstruction of justice. And again,
there is another issue here.
Please.
Okay. With Flynn, for instance, you know, we're talking about something that, yes, was tweeted. I believe the president tweeted this, okay? It's not, again, illegal to lie to the media. Social media, whether he treats it as such or not, is not policy. But I'm going to bring this back into James Comey's court. Because once again, not only as the head of the FBI, the director of the FBI, we see one of the top cops in the land, he's an attorney who, by the way, he and his buddy Mueller came up in the Bush administration. In that scenario, once again, he either completely failed in his job by not leaving that meeting directly and going to the attorney general and saying, the president just told me that I need to cut it out, this investigation, and we, the FBI, don't do that. Or it didn't happen, and he's trying to smear the president mm-hmm. of the United States. There's no gray.
No, with those two, I mean, you're absolutely
no,
right.
No, there's no Alpha, Bravo, Charlie. No. He either failed to perform his duty and say, the president of the United States, President Trump, just told me to obstruct justice, or he's lying.
Mm-hmm. So everything that I told you is obviously hearsay. And I'm not the only person to connect these dots either, because
apparently, I'm one of the only ones to, though, on Comey. When did he get canonized in Rome?
I did say that I thought he was just smearing the president. And this was before this tweet came out. And again, I still.
That doesn't change shit.
It really doesn't at all. I still stand behind my word. I do think he was. I don't know. It's the third point.
Sorry. I believe that the president is probably not wanting to admit that he didn't think it really all the way through. He's tweeting now what he wished he had said then.
Yeah.
He's not going to tell you that.
No, he's not. And I think it's a weird move for his lawyer to come out and take responsibility for that tweet, because it's strange that someone else would have the password to that Twitter account, which has been.
It's really strange to have a lawyer named after one of the meanest baseball players in history.
Yeah.
Ty Cobb used to sharpen his spikes to stick into catcher's groins while sliding home.
Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
And he played for the Detroit Tigers.
He did play for the Detroit Tigers. He's got his statue memorial.
Is he there now?
No, the statue's still there.
Well, no, I mean, like, there's some sort of tin hat interference.
Well, maybe.
It's probably Sessions.
Could be.
You're not going to recall, like, oh, yes, I will.
So that was actually a question that was brought by Mark Warner, is a Democratic senator from Virginia, who said he asked Sunday why Trump didn't act sooner if he knew Flynn had lied to the FBI. And it does raise that question. And, there might be some
lied to the FBI. He was the director of the FBI.
No, I think he's talking about Trump. If Trump had known that Flynn lied earlier, well, I mean, I guess you could.
You just said Comey.
Did I say Comey by accident?
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I was confused. My bad.
No, actually, let me set the record straight.
He said, Senator Warner said, if President Trump knew that blank lied to the FBI, who? Flynn?
If Flynn had lied to the FBI,
all right,
yes.
There you go. Sorry, and, I was confused.
But, I mean, for the sake of our argument, Comey knew as well, that would be obstruction of justice as well.
We're never going to find out with all his alleged writings anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that kind of just sets the tone for the week. I think there'll be, when you turn on the mainstream media and you will possibly hear about this, it just adds another cog to the wheel, if you will, or a spoke.
Well, Comey already muddied this thoroughly with what he said and deciding whether Hillary Clinton should be prosecuted. Now, remember the AG, Loretta Lynch, regardless of any externalities, she's the one that gets to decide that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is not me saying, lock her up. No. I'm addressing what James Comey, then the FBI director, came out and said regarding, if everybody remembers, during the election cycle, he came out and said, well, while what she did was basically profoundly stupid, I don't believe this was her intent. Mm-hmm. I know I'm paraphrasing, but he addressed intent. You don't have that luxury.
No.
This is not about intent. Did she or did she not destroy evidence? He didn't answer that.
No, he didn't. And it just...
He said, well, it didn't, you know, she didn't maybe mean to. That's not what the government was asking you, James.
Exactly. So it is convoluted on both sides. And
I'm not diverting for the president. I'm just pointing this out that Comey may be a bit of a problem here for just the general process.
Yes. And he does paint himself in a way that is holier than thou isn't the right word, but... It's,
well, I don't show that I don't sleep.
Yeah.
He does.
That's true. Fair
enough. He looks like he hadn't slept since Ford was president.
Fair enough, but I don't know how much I'd be sleeping if I was in that position either.
Fair is the key word there.
So we'll see what comes of this. But again, I just don't see this going to the president either.
We haven't made this far negative enough for Monday.
Have we not? What else can we talk about that's negative? Bring it down.
Well, it's not really negative, but... Well, I tell you what. We'll save President Trump's rant recorded at Paul Manafort for Wednesday. I think
we'll
enjoy that. But real quick, any thoughts on Congressman Nunes? By the way, noteworthy because he's a California, Republican. How many thoughts on his threats of hitting FBI and federal lawyers with contempt of Congress?
You know, I wish I researched it a little bit more.
Save it for Wednesday.
What's that? Yeah, I think we do save it for Wednesday because you brought that up in pre-show, and I feel I need to be a little bit more versed in it before I make a...
Well, it just happened. I mean...
Yeah, it did, and... I don't know how much footing that guy has to...
House Intelligence Committee Chairman.
Well, he does, but in light of everything that happened when Trump became president, it's a good question, and I think
patronize me.
Let me throw it in your court. What do you think?
I think that you're sexy.
Aw.
And you need to say it.
Aw, I need to say it. You're sexy.
There you go. And we'll hold all this over until the midweek wrap, which is going to be epic.
Indeed.
And folks, we'll make next Monday far more morbid.
Morbid Monday. Morbid Monday. Maybe that's better than the case of the Mondays.
We failed today. We were so upbeat. It was like, oh.
Man, all that unity and democracy talk. Jeez. For a Monday? Get out of here. Well, you know where to find us, everybody. Modstate.com. You have all of our links to our social media sites, podcast links. If you're on your phone, scroll all the way down to the bottom. You can find the links to the podcast. We're also on Podomatic and iTunes and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Thanks for your continued support, your listenership, your readership, and all the word of mouth that you push out there for people to get our podcast and read from all of our amazing contributors at Mod State. So with that, my friend.
Goodbye.
We'll see you.